share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others. Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children. Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog for your special need while watching the lives of shelter dogs transformed into service dogs. Follow the incredible transformation of shelter dogs who forever transform the lives of special needs children.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Today we have an amazing guest from the Outback, Lisa K. Carr, who has a beautiful son we call affectionately Prince Aiden. And she's going to tell us a little bit about her many, many journeys and many continents of journeys to help her son, who has some diagnoses that might be common to some and uncommon to others. But we're going to talk about that in a moment after we kind of explain why we're here. This show is specifically set up for people with children and adults with special needs who either have a service dog or who need a service dog or are working towards certification for a therapy dog. And each week we're going to give you wonderful tips that you can use and then practice the different things that we give you. And then the next week you'll be able to learn new tips. And by the time you've listened for a little bit, you guys are going to have the best behaved service dogs, therapy dogs, and even companion dogs. Because we're going to teach the dogs in a language that the dogs speak instead of using English, and instead of using some of the common methods. So today's guest is Lisa K. Carr. Lisa is going to tell you quite a long story about her journey to find a service dog and what the dog has done for her son, Aiden. Lisa, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you, Janice. It's always an honor to speak with you.
Thank you. Well, you know, you just got back. I know you still got jet lag from coming back from Australia.
And, yes.
We definitely want to, you know, give you a little extra, you know, Lisa time to catch up. But can you tell us a little bit about your very long, drawn-out escapade trying to be in Australia and getting services and kind of what the situation might have been like there for Aiden?
Well, basically, from about age three, we kind of suspected something wasn't right with him. And, you know, I enrolled him in a very small family-type daycare situation. And, you know, I was getting calls from the teacher daily saying, he's just, something's not right. He's not socializing properly. He's quite aggressive with the other children. He's crying a lot, you know. And I thought, oh, that seems unusual. We just thought he had a bit of a speech delay. Then as time went on, it was evident something just wasn't right socially, behaviorally. So we had him assessed. He was basically diagnosed with high-functioning autism. We then decided to pack up and leave where we were living at the time and move to a facility which was about 2 hours away, which was a kindergarten designed to integrate children with autism as well as children that were neurotypical developing. And unfortunately, though, my son got a lot worse in this facility because there wasn't the staff were not trained in how to handle children with difficult behaviours, and unfortunately looked at the behaviours as being more of a personal thing and that the child was misbehaving, not from a sensory perspective, not from the fact there were 35 children in one room with one teacher. And, you know, there were all sorts of things going on, like, you know, my son still talks about the day he was locked in a dark bathroom because he was screaming. And I will never forget, there was one time I picked him up from the kindergarten and he was sitting in the corner rocking back and forth crying. And that was the day I said to my husband, we're pulling him out. I can't do this anymore. I can't watch him, you know, regress like this and be so unhappy. So we then researched, as you do, as soon as you get any sort of diagnosis, you research. And I spent hours and hours on the internet trying to find, you know, a solution to help our son, not to change him. I wouldn't change him for the world. I don't want him to be any different. I just want to make his life easier. And that has always been my mission and goal. And my husband was offered an opportunity for a job promotion here in the US. And, of course, at first he said to me, New York. And I said, no way, we can't move to New York. It's too far away. You know, we'll miss our family and friends and, you know. And then I sat back and forgot about me, for you know, and started thinking of Aiden and thinking of the services available here in the United States, doctors, medical care, everything that is available here in the US versus what's available in Australia. And unfortunately, Australia just do not have the population, do not have the resources, do not have the funding available to set up a lot of what the states is able to offer children with special needs. And hence, that was our call to move over here. And we decided to pack up the family and move literally to the other side of the globe to get him help. And that was a strong motivator for us. My husband already had a great job back home. We didn't really need to do that for his work, although it was, you know, an advantage for him. It was definitely more of an advantage for Aiden. So that was our main motivation. Unfortunately, there still isn't the services. There still isn't the schooling available in Australia. And even on my recent visit, catching up with girlfriends who have children with, say, fine motor delays or development delays, they're in private schools, but their private schools are 30 children in one room with one teacher, and then the teachers are writing letters to the parents after school saying, he's behind on XYZ, you need to get him up to scratch tonight. So basically, these mothers and fathers are paying a lot of money for schooling, and they're basically having to do all the therapy and all the work to get these kids ahead because they just don't have that available. And if they do, it's not for children that are, I guess, on a very high-functioning level. It's more for children that require special ed, and they have special ed units there for children that are maybe not verbal, maybe need physical therapy. But the children that still struggle behaviorally at school and have trouble, you know, incorporating in a classroom with lots of children, they're the ones that are left behind, unfortunately,
right.
By the system.
That's so horrible that we hear that. We're going to hear more from Lisa Kakar when we return on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Hi, I'm Antonia Love, psychic counselor and metaphysical teacher. Welcome to BDSRadio.com. If you're looking for higher thought, all original programs, even the music we play, always original, always here on BDSRadio.com.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Today we're interviewing Lisa Kakar, who moved her family literally from Australia to the United States in order to seek help for her son, who had some pretty horrible things happen to him back home. And that's, you know, just a credit to the United States and to our systems of health and of services that are available here that we take for granted. Lisa, it's a very sad story, but I hear there's a happier ending here. Can you let us know what's going on now and how that has changed Aiden, the new things that have happened to him?
Well, basically, we've started getting on top of a lot of the medical stuff that's happening with him, so that's a very big plus for us. We've found some wonderful neurologists and doctors that have uncovered a lot of medical content that's going on with Aiden. So basically, a lot of his neurological things, the seizure disorder that he also has, is all underlying medical stuff that's going on. So we're in the process at the moment of getting that organized. But the biggest help for us was, of course, meeting you, Janice, and it was a very unexpected change when the doctors were basically at the point where he was doing very poorly when we first moved here still, and it was a case of you guys need to medicate him. And I have no problem with medication. I think some children benefit immensely from it, but personally myself, I just knew that there had to be another answer for him, and I just wanted to look around and see, because I've also seen the bad side effects of medications as well. So that was just a personal choice of mine. I wanted an alternative. And one of the alternatives I'd read about was service dogs, and Aiden has always had a natural connection with dogs. My parents' dog back in Australia, he used to lie on him and cuddle him, and we'd always get mad at him and say, get off, because we thought he was hurting the dog or annoying the dog, but we didn't realise at the time that he was actually seeking a lot of comfort from the dog. So I approached a few organisations actually that trained up service dogs, and of course it was the typical, it'll cost $25,000, you need to go and raise $13,000 and basically beg and plead for money from people. And my husband and I just said, that's just impossible. You can't, I mean, no one can raise that sort of money quickly. And and also there's an 18-month, after you've raised the money, 18-month wait list for these dogs, which is hard because you're not only having to get out and beg for money and try and, you know, sell your story to everybody, which is humiliating enough, but you've also then got to wait until the dog is trained after raising the money. So the raising of the money can take 2 years, and then you've got another 2 years waiting for the dog. So it's, you know, that kind of put me off a little bit, and I thought, oh, you know, the money side of it just wasn't, to me, it was, do we just get a pet that's going to be therapeutic for him? And then I came across Janice's website, and I gave you a call, and I remember clearly talking to you, and I just remember you saying, I've heard this story so many times, but you know what? I want you to come in, and I want Wyatt to evaluate Aiden. And I thought, oh, great. You know, I was so excited that we were coming in and meeting you and, you know, seeing what it was all about. And, of course, I didn't know anything about Rhodesian Ridgebacks. Didn't know anything about the breed and how fantastically amazing they are. And we headed on down to you, and I remember that day you said to me, you brought Wyatt out, Aiden was there, Wyatt almost completely ignored him, and you looked at me and said, Wyatt doesn't think there's anything wrong with Aiden. And my heart sank, and I thought, oh,
I remember that too. I remember you were very upset. That was like, Wyatt, look, he's autistic, really? Yeah. There's something wrong with him. Look again.
Exactly. Come on, Wyatt, do your thing. And then I remember you said to us, look, I'm going to take you into the shed where the girls are, because sometimes the girls, you know, have a better with the boys. You know, they're a bit more in tune with the males. And I thought, okay, well, we'll try. And we went in and, of course, greeted by this beautiful pack of well-balanced, calm dogs. And I'll never forget the one that came up to him and just wouldn't leave him alone. She just kept following him, and he sat down on the chair and she started sniffing his head in the spot where they claim that the seizures are coming from. Then she started licking his hands, just licking and licking and licking his hands. And then, remember, he got up and went for a run down the hall, almost a little bit of a semi, oh, I'm getting a bit stressed, you know, that type of meltdown type thing, and he ran off and she followed him. And you looked at Jody, who was working with you at the time, and said, we've never seen Zuri like this with anyone before. I think we've found your dog. And I just can't begin to tell you how the blood rushed from my head because I was kind of semi-shocked, but at the same time going, are you serious? Did I just hear what I thought you just said? And of course, we then welcomed her Christmas Day, which was a beautiful surprise for him. For the first time, when she came into our home, we saw him well up with tears of joy, and we've never seen that before from him. He's never equated tears and crying to feeling happy. It's always been just very concrete, sad, happy, you know, that type of thing. But for him, he couldn't understand why he was crying because he felt so happy. And then the bond was almost instant. You know, it took literally that night he was laying on top of her, as you've seen the photos, and she was curled up in a ball and he was laying on her sucking his thumb, fell asleep.
The rest is
another topic.
Right. Well, we Lisa, we definitely want to hear the rest of the story. So can you stay with us one more segment?
Sure.
Awesome. So we will return shortly with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Antonia Love, psychic counselor and metaphysical teacher. Welcome to BDSRadio.com. If you're looking for high thought, all original programming, even the music we play, always original, always here on BDSRadio.com.
And welcome back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we are hearing just, I think there's not a dry eye in the audience right now, Lisa, hearing about Aiden. And it was amazing because I was there and I did see that instant bond that Aiden had. And it's amazing to see your Facebook. You have quite a few followers in many, many continents. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of Aiden's little cool challenges and how they changed? And I remember one thing that when he came into your room and he had done something for the very, very first time, it was very exciting. Can you tell us about that?
For sure. Well, it goes without saying that this is probably the best thing that we ever did, pursue this direction, because it is completely changed Aiden in ways that I don't think any medication could even have done. And, I just don't even know where to begin. There's so many changes. But probably the most significant is what you just highlighted now, where he has a lot of development delays and fine motor difficulty. And one of them was just even simple tasks of dressing himself, feeding himself with a spoon, just the coordination and the actual confidence in doing this was really poor with him, and it was just a case of giving up all the time and not wanting to give things a go. And it became very frustrating, particularly at the age of six, where we're essentially dressing him like a toddler again. And Zuri came along, and all of a sudden the second night he picked up a book and actually started trying to read to her. He cannot read, he can't write, but he attempted to interpret the pictures. And he said, I really want to read to Zuri. And before that, you just couldn't get him near a book because he couldn't do it, so he couldn't have been bothered. And then the following morning, he came in completely dressed, head to toe, and said, Zuri helped me. And I said, how did she help you, darling? And he said, she was looking at me and I was talking to her and she helped me dress myself. And I think both my husband and I were just in complete shock, and I hugged him and cried, and it was very emotional, and he couldn't understand.
And he had never done that before.
He'd never fully dressed himself, no. He'd attempted, and of course, one little bit of failure, and it was it. That was over. He didn't want to do it. No, I'm not dressing myself. You have to do it for me. But this was, I think it took him close to half an hour to do it. Because I know what time he woke up, and he didn't come into our room until about half an hour later. So it took him a long time, and it was hard work for him. But having Zuri there and having a non-judgmental audience staring at him and not, come on, you can do it, you can do it. It was just a silence and a presence and obviously a calm energy around him that gave him the confidence and ability to do this. And he wasn't in a hurry. He did it. He may have had several attempts at doing it, but he did it. And I think that
wow.
is just a huge, huge
That's
thing.
That's incredible. And
it,
what's amazing about it is it's something that the humans have been working on trying to get him to do. But the fact that the dog, and this is almost any dog, not even a service dog, just having that non-judgmental, beautiful energy of the companionship of a dog.
Absolutely.
Is certainly something that anyone who has even a companion dog is very aware of. But what's amazing is that it almost seems like the way, obviously, I know how Zuri was trained because I trained her, but it's almost like with the Rhodesian Ridgeback, when you teach them something, they don't just do what you taught them. They actually think and they interpret what they need to do from there. So So I'm always amazed with the Zuri stories. One of the things, though, I would love to hear is about the physical things that Zuri has done for Aiden, where you had a condition that you were really having a difficult time figuring out if he was having the seizures or not. And I had a call from the school one day about a particular behavior Zuri was doing that they couldn't figure out. And I know I got a phone call from you, Lisa, about asking me why Zuri was doing a particular behavior. Can you tell everyone about that? Because I think that's absolutely fascinating.
Sure. Aiden has been having, you know, what's better known in the medical term as an absent seizure, where he kind of vacantly disconnects for 10 to 20 seconds and, you know, he's just off in another world and he can't hear you. And we noticed a few months ago now, Zuri was acting very oddly at home. One day she got up and she started circling around him and just circling on the spot. And I looked over at her and I was focused more on her than what was going on with Aiden because she was acting so strangely. And I was trying to call her and I was going, Zuzu, Zuzu. And she was just completely ignoring me. Then I noticed she went up and started nudging him with her nose on the leg. And I looked over at him and there he was, bang, in the middle of the seizure. And he came out of it. He was fine. Everything was all right. But she was almost still looking at him like, I need to know you're okay sort of thing. Look at me. You know. And I thought to myself, is it me? Did I just visualize that? Or is she genuinely picking up that? Because apparently they pick up a scent, like it's a hormone scent or something that the person who's having a seizure emits. And is she able to do that? And then I remember ringing you saying, have you trained her to do this? Because this is, you know, is this a one-off or is this, you know, something that is she's been trained for? And the icing on the cake was one night she doesn't bark unless someone's ready to attack us. She would never bark. And 3 o'clock in the morning, we heard a bark from his room and I ran down straight away and he was on the floor and she had her legs kind of across his legs, kind of comforting him, like a pressure type thing that she does when he gets anxious, laying on him but barking at the same time to say, hey, something's happened here. And we knew straight away because he gets other, you know, other symptoms as well that indicate a seizure. But we knew that's exactly what had gone on. And obviously he was at the edge of his bed and rolled off at the same time. And she was letting us know. And it's happened at school as well.
Amazing. That is amazing. Mm. I definitely want you to stay for one more segment, Lisa. We can't make it. This dog is superhuman. stay with us for the next segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Hi, I'm Antonia Love, psychic counselor and metaphysical teacher. Welcome to BDSRadio.com. If you're looking for higher thought, all original programming, even the music we play, all is original. Always
here on BBSRadio.com. Welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we are riveted to the radio listening to Lisa Kakar, who has a beautiful, beautiful six-year-old son named Aiden, and we're hearing about Zuri the super dog. Lisa, so you were not really aware then that Aiden had been having these seizures, because as I recall, they had suspected them, but Zuri was actually the one who diagnosed them. We got to call her Dr. Zuri, like we have Dr. Wyatt. can you tell us a little bit more about some of the other amazing situations, like the one at school, where I got that phone call from school?
Yeah, he, well, basically, we thought the seizures, because, you know, we were admitted to hospital for 3 days. They did the regular EEG, and, of course, I'm sitting there, and they came back and said, we can't find anything. The only way that to truly tell is they could be seizures deep in the brain. So in the limbic, they call them limbic seizures. So they're very deep in the brain and a normal EEG will not pick them up. So they said the only way we're going to truly detect this is put him under anesthetic and stick a nasal camera into him and have a look if there's any activity. And I said, not on your life. It's not happening to my son. So I said, no, it's fine. We will just keep going as long as we don't see anything kind of come from this. But as time has gone on, the seizures have kind of presented in strange ways. And one of the incidents was at school. He was kind of... It had happened at home previously as well where he started, it almost brought on a little slight hallucination with it. And Zuri at school became very uncomfortable and very agitated and circling again and kind of, she was getting that, she was licking a lot, you know, that licking that dogs get when they're anxious. And she was trying to tell everybody, hey, this isn't right. Something's not right here. And her behavior was actually, she became quite anxious about it. And everybody distinctly saw a difference in her. And then as it turned out, it was due to the fact that he was in fact having a seizure. But the problem is because in medical terms, they don't recognize a dog as a valuable source of, you know, evaluation, then, you know, it just goes on that we couldn't find anything on the EEG. But it distinctly, there have been so many different occasions now where Zuri has pointed out and become very different and behaved differently when he's seizing, because she either tries to comfort him or it has to be near him or, you know, alerts us to it in some way or form. And I think the thing that's been so amazing for everybody is the fact she was never trained to do it. It's just instinctively become part of how she helps Aiden.
Right, and that's amazing. And I do have a physical, like a, it's not exactly seizures, they're called, it's another thing, but it's a similar. And she's always been very perceptive of things. But she was not trained as Aiden's seizure dog. She was trained as Aiden's autism dog to help him to get through. And that's what we're talking about with dogs. Dogs in general can do so much more than humans give them credit for or even want to believe, even those of us who believe. We can't believe it. How is it possible? I tell people, think about California. Is California there right now? Well, I'm in New Jersey. And from New Jersey, I can't guarantee that California isn't there because I don't know if there was a bad earthquake and, God forbid, the San Andreas Fault finally ruptured and now, you know, California's not there anymore. I don't know. The same way we don't know if, you know, religious things, you know, obviously, we don't know if there's a God. We don't know. We can believe. We can think. We don't know, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I'm pretty sure California's still there. I would probably win that bet that California's there. So just because we can't see something, we humans can't perceive it, doesn't mean it's not there. And I really hope that most people who are listening to the show today will understand the power of dogs and this kind of unique bond that we've had with dogs through the ages. In the last segment we have today, the last two segments, we're going to actually give you some training tips. If you have your own dog, whether it's a companion dog or a service dog or a therapy dog, to help you. But listen to your dog. Trust your dog. Your dog will not lead you astray. And what one thing I would really like to ask Lisa before we unfortunately have to let her go is, Lisa, what did you expect when you first found out you were going to have a service dog versus what actually did Merlin's kid provide for you that you never, ever imagined would be a part of this process?
I didn't know what to expect, Janice, to be honest. And I will say, though, I didn't know what to expect. There was no expectation. I just knew that a dog would help my son in some way, but I would never, ever have imagined this much. And I would never have imagined my son now able to sit in a classroom and concentrate and calm himself quickly and effectively with Zuri. And I would never have imagined this is a child that, although very connected and able to tell you he loves you, he has a lot of trouble looking you in the eye and kissing you on the lips because of that whole eye contact thing. With Zuri, he looks her straight down the eyes and he kisses her on the mouth. And he can't do that with humans. So all I know is they are soulmates, and all I know is that she came to us for a reason. We were meant to meet, you and I. And all I know is she has exceeded any expectation I ever had on how this would work. And it has definitely changed ours and his life forever in a very, very positive way.
Thank you, Lisa. Hang out with us for a couple of minutes into the next segment, and we will return with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog.
Hi, I'm Antonia Lau, psychic counselor and metaphysical teacher. Welcome to BDSRadio.com. If you're looking for high thought, all original programming, even the music we play, always original, always here on BDSRadio.com.
And welcome back with From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We are just all blown away by what Zuri, the super dog, has done for Aiden. One thing, Lisa, before we end today, I really want to thank you because you're really bearing your soul. And I think the parents out there who have special needs children who are considering having a service dog and perhaps don't know, you know, if it's right for their family. We urge everybody as mothers, as consumers, as common sense adults, look around and do your homework. Fortunately, Lisa found Merlin's Kids, which provides dogs for children with special needs, all free of charge. And counts completely on donations and the goodness of very generous people. But, you know, we've got a big, hefty list. And unfortunately, you know, it costs a lot of money to train a dog. Even though we're all volunteers, we've got several hundred people around the country, not even including our part-time people, just people who are fostering, people who are working so hard and having their hearts broken when they have to give up a dog after training it. But they do that for people they've never met so that miracles like the one with Aiden and Zuri can come true. Anybody who's looking for a service dog, we urge you to consider it and to make some phone calls, do some research, ask to meet people who have had service dogs. Unfortunately, a lot of times there are people who are trying to make money off of other people's disabilities and perhaps situations. And unfortunately, you know, there are people who do things for money, and some people do them well and some people don't. And we'll talk about that in the future. But be smart, be aware, and do your homework like Lisa did. So you make sure that you get allied with a group that's going to help you and not take your money and give you either a bill of goods or give you a dog that could potentially even be dangerous. This is such an emerging field right now. There are so many people who are learning how to do this. That's why Merlin's Kids and our sister company, United Canine Professionals, we actually train people not only to train dogs for themselves, where we basically help you to train your dog to be a service dog or therapy dog. We also offer an actual certification in natural canine behavior rehabilitation, as well as offering through Merlin's Kids certification in service dog and or therapy dog training. There may be places who are training dogs and telling people that they're teaching them how to train a service dog, but let me tell you, I've been doing this for 30-some-odd years, I have never trained two dogs for the same type of child or disability. Each type of service dog training requires a different task. So if you think about something like a seeing eye dog, we're actually doing a dog right now for a little boy who's 3 and a half, who is going to be receiving a dog named Finn, who is actually the son of Lisa and Aiden's service dog, Zuri. And it's pretty amazing. But this little boy is visually impaired. They don't even know if he can see anything, but he is beautiful, and he's a little redhead. Well, we are training a dog for him, and the detail of what we put into it is why all of our stories are successful, and we haven't had any problems, because this little boy, if he's 3 and a half years old and he's holding on to that dog and he can't see where he's going, if that dog makes a wrong move or even turns his body one way or the other, that little boy can fall and injure himself. So there are different types of service dogs. There are dogs that are not truly service dogs, but they're called emotional support animals, which are really well-behaved, kind of like therapy dogs. Then there are service dogs who are actually trained like Aiden's dog, who finds seizures, who gives him comfort, who keeps him from running off, who keeps him focused. Then we have dogs for hearing impaired. We have dogs for multiple disabilities. We have, of course, autism dogs. There are so many different types of dogs that are out there. And what's exciting is, and I love, is when somebody calls and says, nobody else will give me a service dog, even if I pay them $25,000 or $30,000. Can you figure out how to train a dog for us? Yes, I can. I've rehabilitated more than 25,000 dogs with behavioral issues. And our people at United Canine Professionals have rehabilitated tens of thousands of dogs. So we know what to do with the dogs. So just ask questions. Make sure that the people you choose will give you a guarantee that that dog will make it through. And if they're taking money for doing whatever it is, please don't give them everything at the beginning, because unfortunately there are a lot of people and horror stories, and I get to hear those stories. We have one more segment after this, and then we're going to just speak with Lisa for a moment. One of the things I ask everybody to do is bearing in mind that dogs cannot be overworked. If you've got a dog who is your service dog, please make sure that you give the dog enough rest period. Some people don't understand that the dog cannot be on 24/7. So even Aiden's dog, when she's at his school, a lot of the time she's just laying down and resting. So make sure that you don't overtax and overburden your service dog, because if you do, the dog might not be not only lasting as long for you, but also may not be doing as good a job while it's there. So stay tuned for the last segment of From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Antonia Love, psychic counselor and metaphysical teacher. Welcome to BDSRadio.com. If you're looking for high thought, all original programming, even the music we play, always original, always here on BBSRadio.com.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. I wanted to give everybody our website for Merlin's Kids. If you're interested in a service dog, or if you need any training tips, or if you're interested in perhaps helping us to train service dogs for kids like Aiden, you can contact us at merlinskids.org. That's MERLINSKIDS.org. Or at UnitedK9Professionals.com. Again, United, the letter K, number 9, UnitedK9Professionals.com. And you can also, of course, do a Google search. So we wanted to give Lisa a few minutes to discuss just briefly about how many things that her family is able to do now that it couldn't do before because of Aiden's sensory issues, and also to tell us the very, very heart-wrenching saga of Aiden in Australia without Zuri. Lisa, please tell us and try not to break our hearts.
Oh, I don't think you want to hear this. Well, she's definitely changed our life more than you could ever imagine, and we've got a much calmer child. I can just see it's almost like, we have to call her his medication on four legs, because she has the same effect as a medication would, in the fact that, you know, when things are too much for him from a sensory perspective, he relies on her and cuddles her and holds her, and just basically she knows exactly when he needs her and how to calm him. And she just, I mean, he lays on her and lays on her head, and I keep saying, oh, be careful, sweetie, but she almost gives me that look like, it's okay, I've got this, you know. And so I just kind of do my thing and go, all right, if you want to, it's almost like I feel like I'm competing to be his mother a little bit. But she's certainly
changed.
Well,
she
did
have more puppies than you had children, so she's got you on that one.
Oh, she definitely can have them. she's definitely changed her life in that aspect. And, you know, having a calmer, happier child around the home makes a very, very big difference, as most parents with special needs children can equate to, that when your child is frustrated constantly or always anxious, or in our case, he was, you know, not coping with school. He'd be running away from school. He'd be very aggressive towards peers. It was just a horrible existence. And I was beginning to think that I had to homeschool him, because I was just at a point where I was so frustrated with the fact that I didn't know what to do next. And, you know, and then, of course, Zuri comes into the picture, and he's now schooling beautifully, and you know, not to say he's all of a sudden become perfect. It's the case, although he is to mummy, but he's still
and to Princess Janice
and Princess Janice. But he is just a calmer, more content child, and that is what you want. And when anxiety is such a problem, it affects every aspect of your life. And I feel like there's a lot of elements of his life that have been toned down now because Zuri's around to help calm him and assist him. And yes, unfortunately, we did go to Australia for 5 weeks without her due to quarantine, paperwork, all that sort of thing. There's a very heavy process involved when you take a service animal into another country, and we weren't aware of everything that was involved, and we were down to the bone with time, and basically made the heart-wrenching decision to have to go and leave her here with my husband and our other pet. And and if anything, that time away proved to me how much he really isn't coping without her. And probably for the first few days it was exciting seeing family and everything, but then we started noticing he had a lot of trouble calming down quickly. He was very frustrated. He'd cry a lot. We didn't know what was wrong. He didn't even know what was wrong. And then he saw Zuri on Skype and ran off in the other direction. I went after him and I said, what's the matter? And he was just bawling his eyes out. And he kept trying to go to my parents' dog and give him, because he's a beautiful, calm dog as well, give him cuddles. But he looked at me and said, Mummy, it's just not Zuri. He doesn't smell the same.
So
Zuri provides a lot of sensory. There's a smell or something about Zuri that really attracts Aiden and calms him. But he said, oh, Guga's a lot older than Zuri. It isn't the same as my Zuzu. He doesn't lick my ears like Zuri does and stuff. So it's almost like, you know, if you break up in a relationship and you meet that other person, it's like, no, they're just not like the other one. So it was kind of that thing. And then, of course, the reunion. We came back yesterday, and the reunion between the pair of them was incredible. I thought she was going to bowl him over. I had to hold him because she leaped up so high. It was like, where on earth have you been, you know? And straight away she knew what to do. We took him up to the bath and bathed him because obviously they weren't very good after a 22-hour flight. Took him up for a bath. She went straight up, laid on the floor, straight into his room. She knew exactly. It was almost like, oh, great, now I'm back to what I need to do. I think she was very lost in that 5 weeks, and my husband said she'd go up to his room a few times and almost look for him. And she developed this licking pattern that she became anxious almost because he just wasn't around. And so it was a mutual, you know, even though they were literally on the other side of the world, it was a mutual, you know, they were both hurting quite badly, and I don't think we'd ever do that again. It's just
kind of like star-crossed lovers, like Romeo and Juliet, separated
it
by
was.
Ages, by mileage, and by species borders. Lisa, I think everybody should follow you. and we need to actually have if everybody goes on to the Merlin's Kids on Facebook, you can actually follow the saga of Aiden and Zuri. It's just an incredible bond, and it's certainly one of those amazing things that once you've been a part of it, you'll never be the same again. Lisa, I am so very grateful not only for your being on the show today, but also for sharing Aiden with the world and for your experiences with Zuri and Aiden. And we thank you and thank God for Aiden and Zuri and the wonderful people we've gotten to meet and become friends with. Thank you all.
Thank you, Janet,
for being with us today on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Please send in your listener questions and Facebook friend us, like Merlin's Kids, United Canine Professionals, and you will be able to send in your listener questions. We look forward to seeing everyone next week on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Good night.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others. Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children. Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog for your special need while watching the lives of shelter dogs transformed into service dogs. Follow the incredible transformation of shelter dogs, who forever transform the lives of special needs children.